Today is Wednesday, May 10th. We'll tell you the outcome of a case against former President Trump, what a jury decided, and how the former president is responding. Also, the feds uncovered what's believed to be a secret computer network Russia has been using to spy on NATO for decades. Plus, new recommendations for when women should get mammograms, a plan to address inequality inside the financial industry, and announcements coming from Google about a new Android update, smartphones, lots of AI, and more. Those stories and more news in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The verdict is in from a federal jury, and it says former President Trump sexually abused magazine writer E. Jean Carroll in the 1990s, then defamed her by saying she lied about it. And with that unanimous decision, the court says Trump will have to pay her $5 million in damages. Now, keep in mind, this was a civil case, not a criminal one, meaning Trump hasn't actually been convicted of a crime and he does not face any time in prison. But he does apparently owe money now. Trump was never there during this trial, and his lawyers never called any witnesses. But Carroll gave detailed testimony about an attack she says happened in the dressing room of a luxury Manhattan department store in the 90s that she says ruined her romantic life forever, and later her reputation when Trump said it never happened. After the verdict came down, Carroll said, quote, "This victory is not just for me, but for every woman who has suffered because she was not believed." Trump also responded with a post on Truth Social that said, quote, "This verdict is a disgrace, a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time." And his lawyer promised to appeal. Remember, Carroll was allowed to bring this lawsuit now because of a New York law that gave adult sex abuse victims a one-year window to sue people they say abused them, even if the statute of limitations has expired. Next up, Trump is facing another civil lawsuit from Carroll, as well as other civil and criminal cases still playing out in the courts. In every case, the former president says he did not do anything wrong. He'll keep fighting the legal battles ahead, and he'll keep running for a second term in the White House. Controversial Congressman George Santos is reportedly facing new criminal charges. News outlets like CNN and The Wall Street Journal cite sources who say the New York Republican will appear in federal court today. It's not clear yet exactly what he's being charged with. Investigations have been piling up against Santos since even before he took office, out of the Justice Department, New York State, and the House Ethics Committee. Santos has admitted to lying about parts of his background and is the subject of a few different investigations into his finances and other issues. And lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have called on him to step down. Despite all that, Santos announced his re-election campaign last month, saying there's a lot he still wants to get done in Congress. So far, he has not commented on these latest reports. The FBI says it took down a malicious software that's been used to steal secrets from the U.S. and NATO countries for more than 20 years. The malware is known as Snake. U.S. and international authorities have been investigating it for more than a decade. The American Justice Department says Russia's Federal Security Service has been using it to target government agencies, defense companies, foreign ministries, media organizations, and high-tech research facilities. With Snake, the Russians were apparently able to record every keystroke made on those computer networks and steal important documents. Well, this week, the FBI used its own newly built software to cause Snake to disable itself from all those computers. That's a big blow to Russia, since U.S. officials say Snake is its most sophisticated cyber espionage tool. And they're promising to keep strengthening the world's defenses. So far, no comment from the Russian government. Speaking of which, Russian President Putin did address the Russian people yesterday as part of Victory Day celebrations, marking the anniversary of the Soviet defeat of the Nazis. Putin tried to make connections between World War II to Russia's invasion of Ukraine now, painting it as another battle that will decide the fate of the so-called motherland being waged by the West. Of course, the conflict in Ukraine does not seem to be ending anytime soon. The UN chief now says peace negotiations between Russia and Ukraine are impossible, since both sides are convinced they can win. One of the U.S. military's largest bases has been renamed. Instead of being named after a Confederate general, it now honors the nation's first Hispanic four-star general. What has long been Fort Hood in Texas is now Fort Cavazos, in honor of the late General Richard Edward Cavazos, who served in both the Korean and Vietnam Wars. Some of the base's current high-ranking officials say, quote, "We are ready and excited to be part of such a momentous part of history while we honor a leader who we all admire." This is all part of an effort to rename a total of 9 bases in the United States that are linked to Confederate leaders. Next up, Fort Benning in Georgia will be renamed Fort Moore later this week. Then Fort Bragg in North Carolina will be renamed Fort Liberty next month. More news is still ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor. It's that time of year that you might be thinking about spring cleaning. As part of that, I always like to go through my closet and donate a bunch of stuff I don't wear and refresh my wardrobe. Well, that said, I noticed that my Rothy's shoes always go in the keep pile, season after season, year after year, because they have a timeless style, they are super comfortable right out of the box, and they're high quality and durable, so they still look great after many wears. They're even machine washable. I love that I can feel good about buying more and upgrading my wardrobe when I get Rothy's shoes or bags because they're always made in a sustainable way. I love knowing that I'm supporting a company that has repurposed 158 million single-use plastic bottles and counting. Well, I'm also getting a new pair of favorite shoes that I know will be something I'll want to wear for a long time. In fact, Rothy's original slip-on sneaker won Best Slip-on Sneaker from Self Magazine's 2022 Sneaker Awards. So for stylish and sustainable shoes, shop Rothy's. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Well, there is a new health recommendation for American women. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force says most women should begin mammograms to screen for breast cancer at 40 years old instead of 50, as it's been recommending until now. And that they should keep getting them once every 2 years until they're 75. So why the change? Well, the panel says they were strongly influenced by the experiences of Black women who tend to develop aggressive breast cancers earlier than white women do. Plus, there has been a recent rise in overall breast cancer rates among people in their 40s. Now the task force says if women follow the new recommendation to get screened earlier, breast cancer deaths in the U.S. could drop by about 20%. In other words, the change could save about 8,000 lives a year. This group is pretty influential, too. Its opinions are considered the gold standard because they're based on a thorough review of evidence by an independent group of experts. And many doctors choose to follow the task force guidelines, and insurance companies even tend to cover the costs of what the task force recommends. These recommendations are open to public comment for a few weeks before becoming official. One of the biggest investment banks in the world is now settling with thousands of women over a case of unfair pay and promotion. Goldman Sachs agreed to a $215 million settlement to end a long-running class action lawsuit. A large group of current and former employees sued back in 2010, saying women were paid less than their male counterparts and had fewer opportunities to move up the ranks. On top of the payout, the settlement comes with some terms. For the next 3 years, Goldman will have an independent expert analyzing how it evaluates employee performance and how it promotes its workers. An expert will also do pay equity studies to address any gender pay gaps. The settlement was reached less than a month before the case was set to go to trial. Now that it's done, Goldman is saying it is, quote, committed to ensuring a diverse and inclusive workplace. Two of the biggest names in mattresses are now teaming up. Manufacturer Tempur-Sealy agreed to buy America's largest bedding retailer, Mattress Firm. That gives the combined company about 3,000 stores and dozens of manufacturing facilities. It comes as mattress and furniture sales have slowed since the days of the pandemic lockdowns, when people were spending a lot on home furnishings. Plus, there's a lot more competition online now, like from Casper and Amazon. This new deal is worth roughly $4 billion, and the company is expected to save them about $100 million within 4 years. It's set to close next year as long as regulators sign off. It's time for Google's big annual developers conference. Usually, this is the time for the tech giant to debut new or updated products and software that it plans to release over the next year. But a lot of the big announcements have already leaked. For example, a new foldable smartphone called the Pixel Fold, a new Pixel tablet, as well as a new version of the company's large language model that can apparently generate content in 100 different languages. CNBC says the company has used it to analyze writing, coding, and math tests. Plus, there will be a new version of Google's AI chatbot, Bard, and AI-based upgrades to search, and the latest Android operating system to show off with new privacy features and a boost to battery life. Some rumors are going around about a new AirTag competitor, new Pixel earbuds, and a new Pixel smartwatch. But the full Google event kicks off today at 10 a.m. Pacific time. The most prestigious dog show in the U.S. has crowned a new top dog. For the first time, a Petit Basset Griffon Vendéen, a.k.a. PBGV, won Best in Show. PBGVs are short, shaggy-coated hound dogs known for working in packs, hunting rabbits, and generally being happy and getting along well with families. This year's winner, named after rock and roll legend Buddy Holly, triumphed over more than 3,000 dogs from more than 200 different breeds. Today, Buddy Holly will celebrate with a visit to the Empire State Building and Champions Lunch in Central Park. Other winners from the big competition include Baker the Golden Retriever, who won the show's Masters Obedience Championship, and Truant the Border Collie, who took home the Masters Agility Champion title. If you want to see their winning performances, we have links posted in today's episode notes. Well, that's it for the main news today. So now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is brought to you by Wondery's new podcast, Think Twice. Michael Jackson was one of the most influential pop stars of all time, but his legacy is tainted by accusations of sexual abuse. Since his death in 2009, the world has struggled with how Michael Jackson should be remembered. As an eccentric cultural icon, a global humanitarian, or a monster? In their new podcast, Think Twice, Michael Jackson, journalists Leon Nafok and Jay Smooth delve into the complicated and unresolved legacy of the King of Pop. Through dozens of original interviews with people who watched his story unfold up close, Think Twice reveals a new perspective on his artistry, his controversies, and how we should remember him. Follow Think Twice, Michael Jackson on Audible or the Amazon Music app. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. Business travel still has not gotten back to what it once was before the pandemic. And now a new study says it never will. The research company Morning Consult found things have permanently changed for a few reasons, including tighter corporate budgets, higher travel costs, climate concerns, and new ways of virtual working that have made in-person business dealings less essential. Of the thousands of people surveyed, about a third said their companies had changed policies, most commonly by cutting back on the number of business trips and also sending fewer employees on the trips that do happen. More than half said companies are closely scrutinizing travel expenses, too. The same report found the demographics of business travelers are changing. They're now younger and more likely to fly in coach, with about half earning less than $50,000 a year. As far as how workers feel about cutting back on business travel, most say they're fine with it. About 64% said they travel just the right amount for work. Thank you so much for joining us as part of your daily routine and for supporting us by sharing the show. You can also support us by becoming a Newsworthy Insider. For just $5 a month or less, you'll get access to ad-free episodes every day and some bonus content. Go to thenewsworthy.com/insider to start your 7-day free trial. All right, we'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.